I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading comes from James 5, verses 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Elijah was a man of like nature with ourselves, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. My brethren, if any one among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Thank you, Tammy. Now, I want you to think about the scripture that was read because it's very important, because we hear this many, many times in letters in the New Testament. In fact, what I'm going to be talking about, we also hear in the Old Testament quite a bit, and that is about elders. I would like for us to focus on verse 14 just for a few minutes. And verse 14 goes like this: Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now again, we hear that a lot. And you will hear it in Peter, the letter from Peter. You'll hear it from Paul. Even in the Gospels, we hear about the elders. Now, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's very important. The elders in our church family have an important role. Oftentimes I'm asked, what does it mean to be an elder? What do they do? This is especially true when the nominating committee wants to nominate someone to be an elder and the call is made to see if the person will serve. The first question they usually get is, what does an elder do? What are the requirements? We've even had those when they were called say, I know all about an elder and I don't feel that I'm worthy. I don't feel that I'm up to it. They understand the awesomeness of being an elder. Here's what our bylaws at Central Christian Church say an elder is and what they are to do. Elders primarily shall be responsible for the spiritual life and development of the congregation, preside at the Lord's table as you see them do every Sunday, assist and share with the minister in the conduct of pastoral functions, and provide supportive counsel for the minister regarding the spiritual life and development of the congregation. The minister's service shall be reviewed annually in the month of September by the elders. The purpose of the review shall be to evaluate accomplishments as set out above, goals, as well as to identify areas where additional development is needed. The review is also to assist the minister in building up the life and ministry of Central Christian Church. The elders shall report the results of the evaluation to the personnel committee. The elders shall not make any recommendations regarding the terms and conditions of the minister's employment, including salary adjustments. That's our bylaw. But what does Scripture say? 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Peter 5:1-3, so I exhort the leaders among you and the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. tend the flock of God that is in your charge, not by constraint, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Elders are vital to the life of a church. If the elders are not setting an example by attending regularly, if they aren't practicing and participating in events and stewardship and other vital areas of ministry, then they become, as Jesus called them, blind guides. It is the elder that sets the example of what a Christian should be. An example of loving neighbor as self, of giving of oneself, of sacrifice and commitment. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear this, Mark 7:3, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders." Elders set the tone. Even in the Jewish faith, the elder is the one setting the tone for how things need to be. That is following the example of the elders. Whether Old Testament or New, the elder is to lead by example. So what does it mean to lead? Here's some insightful guidance to the church when it calls leadership a peak performance by one who is the trumpet that sounds a clear sound to the organization's goals. 5 requirements for this task are amazingly reliable and useful for those who dare to be elders. An elder works. An elder sees his assignment as responsibility rather than rank or privilege. An elder wants strong, capable, self-assured, and independent associates. An elder creates human energies and visions. An elder develops followers' trust by his own consistency and integrity. What other skill or ability should a leader have? If you're an elder and you want to lead, without a doubt, an elder should be an encourager. Encouraging young people in the church, encouraging those new to being in the disciples' church, or new to being an elder. If someone is a new elder, it's up to the other elders to show them the way. If someone is new in the disciples of Christ and they come into this church, our elders, as Lee Nayling did one Sunday, takes them through the church and gives them the history, shows them what it is that our church does, where it's come from, and where it is now. That's what elders do. So what other skills would they need? An elder is a leader, and a leader is one who's going to show the way. Encouragers come in all sizes. That is the other skill that an elder should have, an encourager. If they are an encourager, we will see growth in the church. We will see things happening. During a practice session for the Green Bay Packers, things were not going well for Vince Lombardi's team. Lombardi singled out one big guard for his failure to put out. It was a hot, muggy day when the coach called his guard aside and leveled his awesome vocal guns on him as only Lombardi could do. "Son, you are a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not putting out. As a matter of fact, it's all over for you today. Go take a shower." The big guard dropped his head and walked into the dressing room. 45 minutes later, when Lombardi walked in, he saw the big guard sitting in front of his locker, still wearing his uniform. His head was bowed, and he was sobbing quietly. Vince Lombardi, ever the changeable but always the compassionate warrior, did something of an about-face that was so typical of him. He walked over to his football player and put his arm around his shoulder. "Son," he said, "I told you the truth. You are a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not putting out. However, in all fairness to you, I should have finished the story. Inside of you, there is a great football player, and I'm going to stick by your side until the great football player inside of you has a chance to come out and assert himself." With these words, Jerry Kramer straightened up and felt a great deal better. As a matter of fact, he felt so much better, he went on to become one of the all-time greats in football and was eventually voted the all-time guard in the first 50 years of professional football. Now, that's an example of an encourager. It's a little different. Everybody has a different way of encouraging. Vince Lombardi, I'm not sure I would use that method, but he did, and it worked. Encouragers are valuable in any setting, but especially valuable in the church. Elders need to be and should be encouragers. So many experience spiritual crises and feel like giving up in the church. How wonderful it is when an elder steps in to say, "Don't give up. Our Lord and Savior will never give up on you, and I'm asking you to not give up on Him." And what would be another characteristic, need, or skill an elder might embody? We have a leader. We have an encourager. What else? I'm going to share two stories with you, and you decide which one displays, tells of a compassionate leader. Story one. Jimmy, an orphan from a foster home, is fishing by himself on the end of a pier. Full of curiosity, like most 10-year-olds, he leans over the edge to look at an insect crawling next to him and falls into the water. Unable to swim, he frantically splashes and screams, trying to paddle to the pier. Just as he goes under and bobs to the surface again, a strong arm reaches down, grabs him up, and sets him on the pier. He is soaked to the skin and close to tears, but without the cocky attitude that allowed him to risk hanging over the edge. His rescuer scolds him about being so careless, turns, and walks off. What's missing? Story two. Jimmy, an orphan from a foster home, is fishing by himself on the end of a pier. Full of curiosity, like most 10-year-olds, he leans over the edge to look at an insect crawling next to him and falls into the water. Unable to swim, he frantically splashes and screams, trying to paddle to the pier. Just as he goes under and bobs to the surface again, a strong arm reaches down, grabs him up, and sets him on the pier. He is soaked to the skin and close to tears, but without the cocky attitude that allowed him to risk hanging over the edge. Sounds like the same story, doesn't it? So what's different? Well, what's different is this time the rescuer firmly but gently pats him on the back, burping out the water he has swallowed, carries him to the showers to wash away the salt water, and dries him off. Then he drives him to the mall, buys him new clothes, and takes him home with him, introducing him to his father and family. They feed him a hot meal, invite him to live with them. This wonderful, loving provider mentors the newly adopted boy in the family's beliefs and makes him one of his heirs. He's delighted as the boy participates in activities of his new family. Jimmy finally has a family, has a home, a father and brothers who love him. He is secure in his new father's love. In the first story, we saw what it means to be rescued. We can rescue, but not loved with Christ-like compassion. It's what an elder does. An elder takes you under her or his wing and says, "Come along, let me show you the way." An elder is going to be the one to embody all those wonderful things you look for in a Christian. You're not to see an elder screaming and hollering and angry and doing all kinds, all manners of badness. That's not the example we set. What you see is discussion, support, and love. And finally, I believe an elder who embodies the above will by nature be a mentor. Jesus was a mentor to his disciples and thereby set the example for all elders of the church. If you are an elder, may God nurture and grow these qualities in you. If you are asked to be an elder, may God bless you with these qualities, because that's where the glue of the congregation is. Our elders who serve, who help, supported by the deacons. That's what makes us a church family. If I had to do it all, it couldn't get done. But it's not me. It's me and the elders of the church who are guiding and leading and loving and compassionate. I have many elders who are out visiting and taking people in their arms. That's what we do as a church. So as we read the scripture from James, he talks about an elder, but when he says an elder, he's talking about somebody who embodies all the things of Jesus Christ. Someone who gets out and does the ministry, and he exhorts people to do exactly that. So I would ask today, as we have come together as a church, that if you see an elder in our congregation, that you take the time to stop and thank them for what they do, because they do a great deal in our church. They are very busy. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will forgive him. Elders are forgiving. They're called to be Christ-like. That's what we do. Again, if you have an opportunity and you know an elder in this church, be sure and give them thanks and praise for the work that they do. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we have elders. We ask that you give them the strength and the courage to go forward and to do your will. We ask that you help to mold them and make them what you would have them to be. If they need your assistance, we ask that you be there for them. That we as a church may continue to grow, that we as a church may continue to do the work of Jesus Christ, for we know that that is the example that you have given us when you sent your Son on earth. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.